It's been a interesting week as far as weather goes. One day it's hot and I can wear shorts and drink coffee outside. The next day it's cold and I got to wear sweatpants and drink coffee on the inside, looking out, wishing it was warm. So that's just pretty much how it goes for the weather this week. If you guys are first-time guests, we're so glad you're here with us today. I am Pastor Aaron. I'm these guys called me Pastor Aaron. I don't know why. But the guy that did the praise and prayer reports, that's our youth pastor, Aaron. And the guy that opened up was Mike Fisher. He's our one of our elders. And we believe in teamwork around here. And I try to instill leadership in all people around here so that we can further the kingdom. You know, just like the Alliance video this morning that we showed, those people went through leadership training. They went through intensive training to be missionaries, and they gave up their entire lives to go over to these closed access countries to share the gospel. And what those folks did, they started a coffee shop, and they invited people over into their coffee shop, and they teach them English. They use the Word of God. And we also know that there's another country, Brandon Nutter, and they also started a coffee shop. So there's something about coffee. Your pastor has it right when there's something about coffee, okay? Just so you all know, the Alliance loves coffee. All right. No, that is not a requirement to be part of the Alliance, by the way. before I get started, also a couple other things. We got some new magazines. This is an older one, Alliance Life magazine. Hey, if there's any kids here today, children are dismissed for children's ministry. All right. So Alliance Life magazine, that's a magazine that really talks about our denomination and what we're up to in all parts of the country, all parts of the world. There's ways we could be praying for those around us, our missionaries and everything like that, and it's keep up with the Alliance. Also, what we believe, there's a couple of packets out there, brochures. If you guys are unaware of what we believe as Alliance, I would encourage you to pick these up and look at those, and you'll learn a little bit more about our denomination. Love the Alliance. Is it a perfect denomination? No, but neither am I, so as a human being. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you so much for this day. And God, we just thank you so much for your word. And we thank you so much for being who you are, our awesome God, our Creator. Lord, we opened up with Psalm 63, you know, to give you back the praise. We come together as a corporate family in corporate worship to give you the praise, God. We open up your word to sing praises to you and to read your word. Lord, we ask as we dive into your word today, as we dive into this message, God, that you would be glorified, that you would be exalted, and that I am out of the way. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just take over and reach those around us. And God, we just thank you so much for this time that we have together to open up your word freely and let your word speak. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so I saw something this week that kind of bothered me a lot. One of well-known pastors out there said he's not sure about the book of Genesis. He's not sure about the Old Testament, how accurate it is, or whatever. And I'm here to tell you, that's dangerous. That's dangerous speaking. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." The entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is Scripture, is God-breathed. I was listening to another pastor in his sermon talk about 2 Timothy 3:16 being all breathed out. All Scripture is breathed out by God, every single word. So the guys that penned it were being inspired by the Holy Spirit. So today we're in the book of James, and as you got, I opened up with that scripture. All scripture is God breathed out by God for profitable, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. I open that up with to go into the book of James, because we have learned about crucibles. We've learned about what it means to remain steadfast in our faith in the book of James. We've learned that we ought to keep our mouth shut and not talk about other people, right? We have learned to the prayer of faithfulness, all right? So today's sermon title is The Fruits of a Faithful Servant, and it's going to be in James 5, and we're only going to go through two verses today, 12 to 14. Don't worry, I have a few notes. All right, I have a few notes. We'll be all right. So, as we journey through God's Word together week after week, month after month, year after year, we are being taught morals, values of Christian living, and bringing hope to those around us by living out, or by using the Holy Scriptures as a guide. We know that people can have hope through Scriptures because God's spoken Word is truth. Here is a review of the things we have learned in James while on our journey to seek God's truth in His Word together. In James 1, we have talked about remaining firm in the faith, even when trials and temptations come our way. We understand that tough situations happen, and for us to grow in the Lord, those tough situations happen to grow us in the Lord. We call those moments crucibles. And that when we endure to the end of that crucible, we are brought closer to God in steadfastness of our faith while in that crucible. We looked at scripture in James chapter 2, and we said that we need to be laboring in love because our labor shows the fruit of what Christ has done for us. Let me pause right there. If there's one young man that I am impressed with immensely, is Aaron Stewart. Our youth pastor is going out there, and he's laboring in love. He works at McDonald's full-time, and he goes out after work, and he meets with people. He had lunch with, on his days off, he goes and he meets with Stephen, and he got to have lunch with Raymond, who is not a believer. He's laboring in love, and he's showing the fruit of what it is to be a faithful servant. We took a journey into God's Word, and we came to understand that wisdom comes from God. And no man can come close to having the wisdom of God that God has. We have come to know more about God's sovereignty in the scriptures as we have journeyed together. And today, we will look at the fruits of a faithful servant. Let me go and read the passage that I want to share with you guys today. So last week, Brother Fish was talking about the rich and the poor. And he read all the way up to verse 11. So picking up in verse 12. But above all, brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or by any oath, but let your yes be your yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith was, I'm sorry, that's right there, 12 to 14. So we'll pick up with verse 15 next time. So 12 to 14. I hope that when you walk out these doors today, you have a much clearer picture of the words and the works of a faithful servant. I wanted to give you a biblical view going back to 2 Timothy 3:16. Let your yes be your yes, James 5:12. Jesus talks about this matter in 5:33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely. Now, this isn't profanity. This isn't like speaking cuss words. This is making an oath, right? I swear, you know, that I have not done this, or I whatever. It's you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what he has sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath, either by heaven or for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you simply say be your yes or no. Anything more than that, it comes from evil. Let me pause right there. Okay, so in a court of law, when you go and stand before a judge, or you sit before a judge, you put your hand on the Bible and you solemnly tell the truth, the whole truth, so help you God, right? You're taking an oath. And you hear constantly a reminder, hey, remember, you're under oath. Tell the truth. You cannot lie. If you lie, you're under perjury. You have perjured yourself, right? Jesus is kind of saying the same thing here. Do not swear by God or Jerusalem or anything else. Do not make an oath for yourself. And James 5:12 says, do not make an oath. Let your yes be your yes and your no, no. All right? So we see James quoting Jesus here, but Jesus was using the law to say this: do not make promises under heaven, either by Jerusalem or to deceive people. In today's society, you might hear someone say, I put that on my dad's grave or my granddad's grave. Do not make false promises. It is a sin, and that comes under judgment. A faithful servant of the Lord will not make oaths under God or anything else, but simply a yes or a no. I can remember my parents instilling those values into me as a young man. You know, if you say you're going to do something, you better do it. If you say you're going to go cut Miss Mary's yard, you better be over there cutting Miss Mary's yard. If you say, no, I cannot do it, then let it be a no. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you that some of the hardest things I deal with is decision making, because I wrestle with wanting to do things and I can't say yes or no. And so I say, I don't know. And she's like, well, which one? You got to make up your mind here, right? But also, I think this is going a little bit deeper than that. That's kind of shallow. So let's go a little bit deeper. It's truth telling. It's telling the truth. So, if you take an oath, you got to tell the truth. And don't do it before God, because if you do, and you don't do it, and it's false, it's a sin. And I don't want to be living in sin, do you? James 5:12. But above all, brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any oath, but let your yes be your yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So a faithful servant, the fruits of a faithful servant will say yes or no. A faithful prayer through suffering, James 5:13. Perhaps the two greatest weaknesses in the average church today are the area of prayer and praise. The reason for these weaknesses may be traced to insensitivity. There is much need for prayer and much cause to praise. Suffering should elicit prayer. Sufficiency should elicit praise. James used several questions to stress these points. When we come here and we week after week, we go through praise and prayer reports, I got to tell you, I don't hear a whole lot of praises being lifted up to our holy God. A few. And then the prayers that we get is prayer for the healing of the sick. But how often do we pray for those who are lost? You see, I've mentioned it before that I have siblings who do not know Christ. That should elicit prayer too. That should elicit prayer too. Yes, suffering, okay? Suffering, sickness, all those things should elicit prayer. Sufficiency should elicit praise. Absolutely, when somebody gets in a car accident and there's minimal things that happen in a car accident, that's praiseworthy. Going on vacation, that's praiseworthy. Next time you guys go, you got to take Pastor Aaron, just so you know, that's a rule. Anybody who goes on vacation, I got to go with you, all right? That's an unspoken written rule, all right? Just kidding. But we want to hear those things. We want to hear that you got to, how you got to enjoy God's creation in Florida, because that's a beautiful part of the country. You know, you see these pictures, like the Bahamas, right? We saw a picture of Gary hanging out in a hammock on vacation a few weeks ago, right? In a beautiful part of the whole world, part of the world that some people don't even get to experience because they're, you know, they're poor. But that should elicit their praise. That's praiseworthy. But so is when your neighbor comes over and you can have dinner with them. When your pastor calls you up and you say you're at a buddy's house, right? That's praiseworthy. You're hanging out. You're having a good time with friends and fellowshipping. Those are all worthy causes to elicit praise. I praise God for good health. I praise God that, you know, I can open up His Word freely here in America and not worry about it. Hey, buddy. That's a praise. Being able to open up the Word of God in America freely and not have to worry about somebody coming in and telling me I can't do this. That's praiseworthy. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. That's praiseworthy. All these things should elicit praise. So why are we praising God more? Why aren't we praising God more? So the three questions that James asks when we're talking about eliciting praise and prayers. The first one is any money among you suffering? Let him pray. Another word for suffering is afflicted, which should bring every believer to prayer, to pray. This suffering is being persecuted or severely mistreated. So in the early church, we know that after Jesus ascended into heaven and he said that to the apostles, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? That was at the end of Mark. Right? We just finished up the book of Mark. And it also, Matthew 28:18-20, you'll find the Great Commission also. But then in Acts 1:8, he reiterates it, but he said, I'm going to send a helper, my spirit, to be a help you be bold in sharing the gospel. Oh, wait until that time. And so then in Acts chapter 2, we see that they waited, and the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and then they were able to go out, and everybody was able to hear in their own tongue. And many thousands of people got saved that day, right? But after that, we know that during this time of the early church, they started being persecuted, right? Nero, he was an awful dude, right? Burning Christians at the stake, using them as human torches. You know, they would throw oil on them. They're still alive, by the way. And then they'll mount them to a wall and use them to light the city at night. Is any money above you suffering, afflicted, being persecuted, severely mistreated? We should look to God who comforts us. Psalms 27:13 says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We pray to communicate with God in all circumstances, whether through suffering or affliction, or when things are good. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Praying to the Lord would show the fruits of a faithful servant. We know that King David also prayed in his affliction. We also know that he sang praises in the good times, right? We know that James, the brother of Jesus here, this is the half-brother of Jesus, he's quoting his brother, Jesus. Matthew 5:33, that was Jesus' quote. And we know that Jesus taught us how to pray. So, suffering. Is anybody among you suffering? Pray. Being persecuted, pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing praise of psalms. That psalms there is psalteo in the original meaning, and it means to play a stringed instrument. Right, Brother Joe? Yeah. Ephesians 5:19 through 20, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the fruit of a faithful servant would show thanks and give praise to God in all circumstances, whether good or bad, right? So anybody among you suffering, you pray. If you're cheerful and you things seem going to be going well, you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You give thanks. All right? Is anybody among you sick? Here's the third question. The Greek word here is astheno, meaning physically sick. All right? This is James 5:14. Is anybody among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. But also meaning spiritually, this could also mean, yes, physically sick, but also check this out. In multiple commentaries this week, I read this, that it's not just physically sick, which we pray for the physically sick all the time, but also meaning spiritually, emotionally, or morally weakened in their weaknesses. This could make more sense in this passage that someone is spiritually not well and call the elders to pray over him, right? So in euthetic counseling, in ACBC, in the counseling classes that I just took, cast all your cares upon him, don't have any anxious thoughts. We work through that. That's a weakness, right? So we work through that. We come as elders and we can pray over that person who's being anxious about their thoughts. We can pray over people who are suffering in their weakness spiritually, right? Because those things will keep you from getting closer to God. Although, remember the crucible, you have to go through crucibles in life. Everybody has crucibles. Not a single person, if you're a Christ follower, does not go through a crucible, right? It's being refined. That crucible refines a person. It draws us closer to God in that moment, right? So having anxiety could be a crucible that's drawing you closer to God. That is a sickness that is drawing you closer to God. And it's not a physical sickness. It could be a spiritual weakness. Spiritually not well. Romans 14:1 says, as for the one who is weak in the faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. We want to welcome those people into our fold, into our flock, into our church. And then we want to pray for them, and we want to walk beside them and pray with them, right? And hoping that they'll be drawn closer to God in their weaknesses. There's nothing wrong with stumbling. Everybody stumbles in their faith. Every single one of us. Me included. So in that battle, in that moment of spiritual weakness, what do? I call up the elders. And I say, hey guys, I hit this wall. And here's what I need. I need prayer. And sometimes, more often than not, 99% of the time, there's a scripture that comes back. with whatever we're dealing with. And we try to encourage one another in scripture and songs and spiritual songs. Sometimes we get together and we pray. Sunday mornings, the elders get together and we pray. And we pray for distractions to be set aside so that we can worship in spirit and in truth. Right? So we're praying for our spiritual weaknesses at that time. Acts 20:35 says this, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive." That does not mean we don't believe in a divine healing. All right, so I'm going to talk about this a little bit. Because Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law who was sick with fever. Matthew 8:17 says this, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Here's what it is here. All right. So when we call the elders and we anoint them with oil, okay, we pray over them. We pray for the sick. All right. I went to a spiritual weakness, right? But the Alliance believes in Christ our healer, right? We believe that Jesus can heal us physically and spiritually, right? So we can pray for people who have cancer. And we can go as elders and we can anoint them with oil. The oil doesn't save anybody. The oil is not a magical thing. All right? It's just a representation. In 2 Samuel, it's a representation of the Holy Spirit, the oil is. Right? So what I'm trying to say is we come together for anybody who is sick spiritually or physically. This here is what we are to do for those who are weak spiritually or physically sick. We anoint them with oil. One of my commentaries says, to smear or to dab, here is the Greek word, alpheo, which means, which was a medicinal anointing. The anointing of oil also symbolizes the Spirit of God. 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13. If someone among us as believers is sick physically, spiritually, or emotionally, let us pray for them and ask that the Lord's will be done with this crucible in this person's life. All right? So I talk to another pastor all the time about crucibles, and he said, don't you dare pray to get out of that crucible. If you pray to get out of that crucible, or if you want to get out of that crucible, it's a sin. You have to stay the course. You have to run that race, and you have to be refined until you're done. Because guess what? The crucible is going to continue to happen over and over and over until you get through it, right? So if you're going through a tough time, whether it's physically sick, emotionally sick, spiritually sick, you stay the course, right? And there's nothing wrong with praying over people who are sick and anointing them with oil. We believe in Christ our healer. But I wanted to be clear that the suffering, the first question that James asked, is anybody among you suffering? That's affliction, persecuted. Is anybody among you cheerful? That's good. You know, you could be cheerful. But if anybody among you here sick, physically or spiritually, right? We have to stay the course in all those things. I can remember just a few, I've had a COVID a couple times, so a couple months ago, I was sick, right, with COVID, and I was down, and, you know, I was in bed, and I prayed that the Lord would take the COVID away, because there are some people who have unfortunately passed away from COVID, you know, and I don't take that lightly. My mentor's wife passed away from COVID. So, and do you think they prayed for healing for her? Yes, they did. But she received the ultimate healing. She went home with Jesus, right? So when I say we pray for the sick emotionally, spiritually, or physically, we trust in God, but we know that he's sovereign. He's going to do what his will is for our life. So, if you're here today and you are feeling weak in the faith, You can come and we will pray with you. Just as James 5 says, if you are here today and you do not know Christ, remember this. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is breathed by God and profitable for the teaching, for the reproof, for the correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Yes, I'm repeating that verse. Why? Because here's what Proverbs says about the lost. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. All right? Acts 16:31 says this, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. 1 John 5:13 says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. If you are not a believer in Jesus, I encourage you to come and pray with us today. We would love to lead you into a relationship with Christ Jesus, who is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. You are not alone. Please listen to these words of God, which is spoken by God, for us to read, to hear, and to pray over so that we can have a relationship with Him. I would encourage you to commit your life to Christ today. Folks, today was not a long message, but it was a lot of meat. All right? That is my conclusion right there. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Are you sick? Come to Christ. Are you cheerful? Come, let us rejoice with you. Are you feeling emotionally drained? Let us come and pray over you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We have one more song, and during this song, I'm going to stand in the front, and my elders will be close. If anybody wants to come and pray for anything, I'll be more than happy to come and pray over you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you so much for this day. Lord, we ask right now that this message, the word that you wrote, would just touch the hearts of the people here. Lord Jesus, we believe that you are the ultimate healer, and that by your stripes we are healed, and that was through sin. But also that you came and you healed Peter's mother-in-law of fever. You obviously, that's in your word, so that we know that you can heal us by taking on our sickness and our ailments. Lord, we just ask that as we go about this week, Lord, that we can go back to James 5 and we look at the rich and we look at the poor and we look at, you know, the faithful servant, the fruits of a faithful servant who would pray in good things and bad things. And we pray for those all around us, whether they persecute us because they didn't like what we said or not. Lord Jesus, I just pray for those who came to visit and then up and left without staying for the message. Lord, I don't know what that was about, but Lord, you know, and I just want to ask that you would lead them and to wherever you have them to go. And Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the visitors here today that stayed and showed up, or that showed up and stayed. Lord Jesus, we ask that as the last song plays, just work in the hearts of those around us, and let us pray for one another. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I once was lost. feet.